You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
Hi there, you're very welcome along to the GAA Hour with me, Darren O'Sullivan. Very happy Kerry man today. All-Ireland final is over. Kerry are champions, first time in 8 years. I'll try and stay as neutral as I can today, but kind of hard to hide my delight. Delighted to be joined today by Aidan McGee and Finian Hanley. Finian, we're still friends.
Still friends, yeah.
So it'll be grand. But a decent final. It was, I don't know, it's a funny game.
It was a funny game, yeah. I suppose when you're kind of invested in it, yeah, as a supporter, it's, you know, it's, Eamon will probably have a different view as a neutral or whatever it was. But yeah, no, look, it was, our boys did great. They did great. They gave it everything, you know. A lot of people had them written off. You know, Kerry were 6-7 points a better team, but we were right in it till the very end. And, you know, a couple of different things that happened that changed the course of the game. But we can't fault our boys this year. They've given it everything. They've kind of come from nowhere, you know. One or two key moments in the game, but I think, you know, on balance, Kerry were a better team. You know, Kerry missed a good bit in the first half that they would normally get. You know, Gainey missed two or three that, you know, bread and butter to him normally. Mm. So, you know, it could have been a different story if he had got those. But, no, look, massive effort from our boys, and I think Galway people are very proud today. That's what all we wanted.
Yeah.
The result, you know, coming from nowhere, it probably would have been a bit of a smash and grab this year to win it, but I'm not overly disappointed today. I think the boys did brilliant.
Yeah, I mean, you're a neutral.
I thought it was a great game, Darren. I thought it was very, you know, there's some unbelievable scores there from, like, I was sitting along with Roy Cavanagh at the game, and there's cornerback scoring, and we just thought that score taking is just unbelievable. And the thing about it, from a Galway's perspective, obviously the credit goes to Kerry because they had to go out and won it. Doesn't matter, as you said last week, doesn't matter how you do it, you just won the game. And Galway, a lot of people would have written them off, but they put up a good performance, you know. And I know that's kind of patronising to say, oh, fair play to these, but they did. No one really gave them a chance, and they just put up a really good performance. And at times, it looked like Galway were going to go on to win it. I thought, you know, if Galway can get a kick here now, to remember Comer was very, very quiet. I thought that if he could get a wee bit more into the game, you know, the game was there for Galway.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, going into the game, there was a lot of talk, obviously, David Clifford and Shane Walsh, and we talked about him a good bit in the show. And when I was taking off my Kerry hat and you're trying to sit back and you're watching Shane Walsh in action, some of the things he was doing yesterday was incredible. But you had, like, for me, you had four just standouts. You had David for Kerry, you had Walsh for Galway, and then McDade. Like, he had four from play, could have had six. And Graham Sullivan, for me, do you know, you talk about Phillips getting an opportunity and grabbing that jersey.
Yeah.
Start of the year, I would have had Mike Breen from Beaufort earmarked start. He got a bad injury, was ruled out. Then I don't know who from Spa came in, was doing really well at cornerback, got injured. And Graham has come in, and I would have always seen him as more of a halfback anyway. So he's been playing at cornerback just every game without being outstanding or grabbing headlines. He's just got better and better. And like, I just watched him yesterday, and they're going, this is a fella who looks comfortable now in his own skin, in that jersey. Yeah. And geez, his performance yesterday was unbelievable, I thought.
Yeah, it was. And I think the number two jersey since Mark O'Shea has retired, I think, you know, they've had Tadhg Morley, they've had Foley, Tom Sullivan, Gavin White. They've been settled in the other five positions, but I think that two jersey, as you said, there's been different players coming in and out. So, he really took it by the scruff of the neck yesterday, like, kicked a great score. You know, Robert wasn't in the game at all. He really curtailed him, like, so. Yeah, no, huge performance. Killian as well. Like, Killian has just really just upped it this year. He's in the frame for player of the year, definitely. 4 points, as you say, could have kicked two more. Massive, massive performance. But, like, that's in him. You know, that's in him. And to see it come out, and there's another couple of years of that. If we can get that, him leading that line, you know, Galway will be successful over the next few years. But you're right, they're the four players. But as Eamon says, the two boys, like, it was an absolute show for the ages. Like, the scores, the leap in the first half by Clifford, like, I think he just, even the players around him were just going, shit, what, like, what do we do with this?
Clifford went up for a ball and he caught it, great fetch, and as he was coming down, he just had the hand in the air. Just so in control, and I was just thinking, that's a baller there.
Savage. And Shane's point in the second into the canal end,
yeah,
the jink, and just lobs it over. Makes it look so easy. Like, he took on Tom Sullivan down the Hogan stand side at one stage. You know, Tom Sullivan had him, turned back, went again, and right foot, right side. It was just an unbelievable score.
Because like, we would have been, like, I don't know we, but I would have been critical of Shane Walsh coming into it. And for him to step up like that there and just really bring the game himself to Kerry, it's a testament to him. And it's great for him too, because we all know that the player he is and the ability he has. And for him to showcase that on the final, I was just... You know, you've got to give him the plaudits.
Yeah, and someone was talking to him during the week. I know my wife met him at the gym, and she's like, "Jesus, you're awful relaxed." You know, he's like, and he's that type of guy that wouldn't. It's strange and all as it sounds. Someone was chatting to him during the week and asked him, like, "Are you nervous or whatever?" He said to them, like, "I've been dreaming of this day my whole life." Mm. You know, because he's so obsessed with football. This is the biggest day of his life. So, like, he would really have enjoyed it more than anything. I saw the president shaking his hand, and he was just having a bit of crack and laughing. He was so relaxed, you know, and we talk about his carefree attitude all the time. Mm. And when we're playing with him, it annoyed us at times, because we're like, "You're a superstar, man. Will you come on? But like, maybe that helped him yesterday, that carefree attitude, because he was just so carefree. And when he got Kerry weren't dairy, you know, there was a bit more room, and when you could give a guy like that room, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, even though, like, obviously I was obviously there supporting Kerry, there's something so enjoyable about seeing a fella on the biggest stage releasing all of his potential. Like, it was just incredible to watch. And like the score you were on about, he did one into the hill, like off the right. Funny, like, Crow Park's a hard kicking field at times, and the wind was
swirling. We were looking at the flags and the wind seemed to be swirling, and it's a hard kick, like, even for Clifford and some of the scores he got, it's hard kicking into that one now.
Yeah, and like that, like, for me, like, I suppose there'll be the debate, you know, like everything, you'd be chatting, should I put him on him? Should it, like, because I was chatting to a few fellas before the game, we're like, maybe put Begley on him. And it's all, of course, after the game, ifs and buts. Tom Sullivan's been our best, Kerry's best marker for the last number of years. Going into the final, I think he was in the shake-up for maybe... If he had a good final, would have been in the shake-up for player of the year as well.
Yeah.
So obviously, after Shane puts in a performance, it's like, oh, should Kerry have put someone else on him? But
that's what I was wondering. Like, could they have, like, Gavin White must have been bad that they didn't maybe possibly switch him over now, because such was Walsh's influence now. So would you have...
I never really see Gavin as a marker.
Yeah. But even to switch it up to try and get someone else on him? Or?
Well, I was chatting to a few lads during the week, and I was talking about Begley, because I thought Begley was brilliant this year for Kerry. And against Dublin, I thought he was outstanding for 45, 50 minutes against Kilkenny. It was as quiet a game as Kieran Kilkenny had. And he has this old, I don't know, stickiness to him and a bit of crankiness that he'd be rooting and tearing at a fella. And I was thinking that might put Shane off. Whereas Tom maybe doesn't do it as much. But look, it was what it was. Like, Shane was on one of the tightest cornerbacks in the country and just gave an exhibition.
I don't think any of them would have marked Shane yesterday. You know, you said
about Clifford, it doesn't really matter. You're going to concede scores off him.
100%.
And I think Walsh was in that form. It didn't matter who you put on him. Like, definitely. But I just thought, you know, could you have switched it up now? But like, Walsh was going to come out with, you know, 5-6 points anyway, like, so.
But if you look at Walsh all year, like, and you look at, we'll talk about defensive setup. So Derry played, you know, Walsh was curtailed against Derry, but Derry had 14 or 15 bodies inside the 45. And if you watch Shane's performance that day, he beats the first man, but there's 14 other bodies in his way, so he's not getting free. But when he beat Tom Sullivan yesterday, there was space. So, you know, that defensive system is probably the only way you curtail a Clifford or a Walsh, really. You know what I mean? Mm. I know people say, well, we want to go back to free-form football. But if you're open in Crow Park, David Clifford's going to absolutely murder you. Yeah. And Shane Walsh is beating you for pace, regardless of who you are. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and just going back, I suppose, to the actual game, the start of it. The thing that surprised me most at the start, and it was funny, I think all went up...
Is that we were ahead, is it?
No, I'd said to someone back in the bar during the week, I said, it could be a weird game. That Kerry could have a lot of the ball and be down 4-5-1. And they did go down. But it wasn't because it was ultra defensive, which I actually thought Galway might do in the first half. It was because Kerry just looked so nervous.
They seemed to come across very nervous, all right. And, you know, you actually nearly convinced me that Galway had a chance from last week, because the whole pressure was on Kerry.
You could feel it.
And you could just feel it building and building. And I thought to myself, no, Kerry and bother here, as Galway were kind of edging ahead. Mm. And in fairness to them, they dug deep and they just ground it out again.
Yeah, like it was like we weren't getting Shawnee on the ball at all. Paddy wasn't on the ball. And the few balls he got, you could nearly feel the nerves off him. He was jittery around him. He was making the wrong options. And take Clifford out, he had two massive marks, and we talked about that just setting the nerves. Paul Ganey had two wides that he'd never kicked normally, and then he caught a great mark. So the marks were actually keeping Kerry in it, the high ball. Then it was a case of, are they overdoing it? Do you know what I mean? Paul got one ball, and he was in such a rush to kick it in, he dropped a short, and Clifford ended up getting booked. They just looked a bit on edge. And like you said, it was, I think, the weight of expectation and pressure and the whole, they have everything to lose here. Mm-hmm. I think it got to them, but it was a good sign of them, and probably more of a testament to Jack and his management team, what they've brought in, this bit of toughness to them, that they just kept, they plodded along.
Yeah, I think that Kerry team from 3 years ago lose that final, you know, when Galway got that wee gap. And I just think Kerry would have just retreated back and went into themselves, and again the pressure would have got to them. And I think, you know, you talk a lot about Jack O'Connor and the mental side of things. I think that's what got them through yesterday.
I think so too. And like, I suppose I was watching I'd be watching Joyce on the sideline. He's up and down, and it's Keane O'Neill there. In fairness, Keane O'Neill probably doesn't get enough credit either. Like, he's I don't know how close they are. I think Joyce came out, said they're not bosom buddies, but Keane's done a fierce job with every team he's been involved in. But were you surprised at how well they started Galway? Like, because they looked like a team. Like, we talked with Shane Walsh, and he just looked so loose and free, and this is where I'm supposed to be. And a lot of the Galway lads looked really comfortable at the start. They looked in control of what they wanted to do. They were turning Kerry over, putting Kerry down blind alleys and up the other, and then you'd Shane Walsh just doing what he was doing.
Yeah. It's a funny one. I actually thought Kerry, bar their efficiency, I think efficiency is the biggest word, because we were very efficient up front when we got scores, but Kerry missed a lot. But Kerry were winning the midfield battle. Our kickout was kind of malfunctioning. Like, Jack Barry caught one or two clean catches, pretty easy, and I was saying, like, this is going to be a long day. When it got to half time, when we were ahead, I was thinking, we're definitely going to win this match, because we're not shooting the lights out, or we're not playing massive, there's not massive performances from everyone here. You know, Paul was poor, Damien was poor. It was kind of strange, and I think Kerry went in at half time, and I'm sure Jack was saying, look, you're in the game here, lads. You're just not, it's not on the scoreboard. So don't worry, keep doing what you're doing, and it will happen. And obviously Kerry kicked 13 points, I think, in the second half, did they?
I think it was 13.
Do you know what I mean? And it goes back to the mental thing of next ball. I'd say next ball. It doesn't matter. Let's go 75, 76 minutes. But I was kind of surprised that we were ahead in the scoreboard, because I thought Ganey scores those points on another day, as we said. And, you know, as you say, the marks kept them in the game. And obviously Clifford's brilliant. Then Clifford got one on the loop and he missed it. So it was kind of a funny first half. It was, you know, everyone was waiting for it to kind of explode a bit. But Shane and obviously David kept the thing alight. But
so Kerry had five wides in the first 15 minutes, and Galway didn't have the first wide till the 32nd minute.
Well, there you go.
So like you said, the efficiency was there with Galway.
Yeah.
And the longer it went on, I think the first score from play, David got it after 18 minutes or something like that. Mm. You're like going, geez, nearly 20 minutes there without a score. It's just very unlike this Kerry group as well. And like you mentioned there was a lot of players, like we mentioned the four boys, McDade, Walsh, Clifford and Graham Sullivan. Nearly everyone else cancelled each other out. Do you know, there was four massive performances, but the rest of it was fairly even. I thought Stephen O'Brien put in a great shift for Kerry, and just, I was watching, I was saying to you earlier, every time he comes off,
he's gassed.
Dead.
Gassed. Yeah.
Everything. Like, he had two huge blocks in the first half. One from Johnny Heaney for the goal, a massive one then on Conroy.
Conroy's was a big...
That's a lift. See when you put in something like that, when you look and you see Stephen O'Brien's doing that, that's a big psychological lift.
Yeah, that was something we haven't seen from Kerry, that from a wing forward. Now, Stephen O'Brien got on loads of ball. I thought Galway were deep in their defensive shape, a bit too deep, because they were giving him a lot of ball. And Dylan McHugh was obviously tucked in. as the sweeper in front of the boys, in front of the full back line to cover Clifford. But we were given Stephen O'Brien. I was worried about that because the longer this goes on, the more ball this guy's going to get. His jink, he had three or four jinks, and when one of them comes off, that's goal territory normally for, because he's good at the last pass to slip someone in for a goal. So I was worried about that, but obviously the plan was there to sit deep and let him come into that honeypot and then try and turn him, you know what I mean, and maybe let him have the ball, and maybe that was something they worked on all week, because if he beats you, he's great at creating goals, you know. So he was worried, but he was very good. He put in a huge massive shift for Kerry, in fairness.
But like you said, there probably was something that they were leaving him get into a certain point. He kicked one good score, kicked a wide, and then dropped one short in the second half. So it was a case of, right, we'll leave him get so far, don't leave him get any further than that. Maybe take your chance that he won't kick 3 and 4 from play in this area. But no, I remember going in at half time, then it's 8-7. I remember being really confused. It was just a funny game. I started going, Kerry are playing poor, but they should be winning. And then it was a case of, can we get more out of fellas? Because there were so many fellas kind of playing within themselves. So many fellas that you're like going, they won't be as bad in the second half. You're like going, they might be.
Was Shawnee O'Shea injured? I was looking at him and he seemed to be, I don't know, he just didn't have much energy, and he looked like a man.
A few of them in the first half, I was like, geez, the boys look tired.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is just the occasion, I think, and overthinking it and the pressure of the situation or whatever. But I was looking at him at halftime and I was going, oh, they can't be as bad. But then I'm going, the Dublin game, the second half was very poor, and that third quarter where Kerry needed a big one in this half, they've been poor in the last couple of games. So I was very antsy at it. My wife said to me, she never seen me as quiet. My legs were going 90, just twitching. I was uneasy for the whole game. And like, you come out for a second half and Paul Gainey, like, there were two big calls by Jack, took Paul Gainey off. Like we said, another day.
I thought Moran was harsh.
David was in bed for 3 days.
Was that
sick? I only found out that after the game. Tonsillitis or laryngitis or something.
Yeah.
Suppose he lost 3 or 4 kgs, and he did look tired, but he's your kicker. He's the guy, he lifts the head, he wants to kick it. And yet again, Kerry stopped kicking in the second half. I don't know, it's a coincidence that Dave was gone, it's a bit more of a running game, but when he went off, I was like, who's going to kick it? Do you know, who's going to get the ball in quick enough? And when we were playing the slow ball in the first half, Galway were very good at making things awkward. So you give Galway credit for the wides. I was like, if it's like this and the wind isn't easy, a couple more wides. Killian Splann came on and his first effort was awful.
Left off the left.
Yeah. Just didn't turn it off. It just went straight.
In fairness, he always tries it though. He always tries it. You know,
but
like,
the next ball he gets, like, that's no easy kick off. You're a bad foot.
Yeah.
Going across, turning back. Like, I was like, geez, fair play to him. Like, because that's a big impact as well off a sub then that you need. He ended up getting 2 big scores. So, like, there were big moves by Jack, because normally you're having a bad first half. Things, look, we'll give you 5 or 10 minutes. And I suppose that shows the ruthlessness maybe to say, look, it's just not your day. I'm not waiting.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Well, that's something PJ's kind of changed on, because Park, even when he was with the under-20s, he was always known to make a change early, even before halftime. So I'm kind of surprised. Now, the bench, we were talking about the bench for the last couple of weeks. Big difference bringing on. You know, we didn't have that. Like, Carl Sweeney didn't even tog for the semi-final because he was suspended for the slap or whatever in the Armagh game. So he was back and he came on and he hasn't played all year. Owen Finnerty made his debut yesterday off the bench. Like, that's unheard of. Do you know what I mean? In a settled panel or whatever. Billy Mannion had been coming on, set up the goal in the semi-final, didn't come on yesterday. So couple of kind of strange calls in that regard, but that kind of shows the strength and depth that got Kerry over the line. Killian's plan, Adrian's plan, you know, Michael Burns' run at the end, like, pace, power, and going back to David and Paul, the older boys, that couple of yards of pace that come father time doesn't allow for. Do you know what I mean? Like, Killian McDade was able to make quick incision, take a shot, whereas Paul, you know, 5 years ago, Stephen O'Brien probably wouldn't have got the block and all that sort of stuff. So, look, you know, they're playing with their heads, but in an All-Ireland final, that the way it's gone is just so quick. It's like you're watching it so fast and all the players are just pace. So, you know, for David and Paul to be out there at their age is savage in itself. But I just think, you know, you need that little bit of an edge of of speed when it comes to making quick decisions.
Finnegan talked about the bench there. Now we're having a debate. There's a few of us sitting in the seats there, and would you have taken Comer off? Because Comer basically I don't know, was it a deliberate ploy that they wanted to make Shane Walsh the point of the attack and like Comer out and, you know, free up space now? But up until, I think he caught a kick out in the last 10 minutes, he didn't touch leather. I would say leave him on, but there was a few people sitting beside me and says, no, just you've got to make the call and get Comer off.
It wasn't going well for Paul in midfield, so I think the obvious decision was put Damien to midfield because he can play midfield. And it would have suited him on a Jermyn O'Connor or Jack Barry, you know, physically. He and maybe he would have caught a few kickouts, which would have inspired us. And it wasn't going well for Paul, so maybe if taken out Paul and then put someone inside in the full forward line would probably have been... I wouldn't have a direct swap because we don't have anyone to replace him, really. As I said, Owen Finnerty came on from at the end, or came on in inside forward at the end, and it was his debut. So that was probably the switch I would have made just to get him into the game a bit more. But it's funny because you talk about players building up. So the semi-final was all Shaun Shea, Damien Comer, and the two boys just didn't... They didn't light yesterday. Maybe that's comes with the territory of, you know, this is the duel, but it's not really, because that pressure's mad. You know, it does mad things. Like.
But that's the thing. I think, like you mentioned, the kick out that Comer caught. I think he had two big moments in the game, more or less right after each other. He caught the huge kick out and then he had a massive turnover. I think it was on Paul Murphy. And you're thinking, geez, if he comes into nowhere, it might be in a bit of danger. But I just think he needs to be that focal point. He can't be on the fringes. Like, he seemed a bit lost, because everything was, obviously, because of the way Shane was playing, it was give it to Shane, give it to Shane. So he just found it hard to get into it. Yeah. No, in fairness, Jason Foley,
he was excellent.
He was outstanding. Because there was question marks about Jason going into it. Will he have the power for him? Like, Jason's a great athlete. Like, he was a hurdler, the speed. Like, he's way faster than he actually looks, because he looks like he's just gliding along. Like, he's mental fast. He had long arms. He'd get in there. But, like, there was question marks about whether he'd have the power and the pace to stick with Comer. Like, will he be bullied? But, geez, he stood up to the challenge yesterday.
Yeah, no, in fairness, and from our point of view, now my point of view as a get-a-hand-in defender, it was great to kind of see a lad who just, you know, boxed the ball away. He broke a few balls. Like, that inspires teams as well, do you know what I mean? It's not pretty, but, like, I'm sure when he broke the first kick out off Comer, the boys are saying, right, Foley's at it today. He's not going to give Comer a sniff. So it was an old-style kind of full-back performance, but he stuck to him like glue. He was all over him. And Damien, you know, he needs to get something early to get it out of himself. He doesn't have the biggest lungs, Damo, in fairness. Yeah. He's more power and brawn. So I think Foley did a super job.
Even just going back to the start of the second half, Marambo Kerry's lack of efficiency in the first half, I think they had only two from play. Their first five scores in the second half were all from play. Like, it's a big turnaround. Like, I would have thought that Galway would have preferred Kerry kicking the ball in, you know, putting more up for grabs or whatever, but they went totally away from it, more of a running style. I thought, look, that's always a slower... ball travels faster than any man. Like, you think it would slow the game down a bit and Galway would be able to get bodies back. I thought Kerry were going to play into Galway's hands. It didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't. It didn't. It was both teams, in fairness, tactically, both teams, the managers kind of got it both right. They played to their strengths. And when Kerry started the running game, Gavin White was getting on ball, coming up the pitch. And obviously the legs off the bench, you know, there's some defining moments. I'm sure we're going to chat about them. But, like, I just think, like, 13 points in the second half in an All-Ireland final is serious, serious kicking. You know, Clifford's free under pressure, like one of the best frees we'll ever see on the right-hand side. You know what I mean? Just they just had that bit more. When
on
it came
that free, if it's one I'm thinking of, did you think it was a free out?
100%. I nearly jumped out of the stand.
was that the one where you grabbed the arm?
Yeah.
I thought it was a free. Now, it's a big call. You never see them given that way when a man's coming out with the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be like that. Like, obviously, you'll always say free out. I go, huh? No.
It was a big moment in
big
the game.
And they're never given.
It was 16 all. Yeah. And if you...
I think that was nearly... I wouldn't go the whole turning point, but it was a big moment in the game.
If you're talking about turning point in the second half, I think Gavin White's wasn't a free.
Oh, the shoulder?
Yeah.
No way.
So you know, it evens itself out. And I'm sure Pádraic is pissed off today and all that, but I'm sure he'll look back the whole game. And that was probably another point where Gavin was going, like, I thought it was fair. So two decisions. I know we'll talk about this one, but when Clifford stood up and everyone was booing, going crazy, and he taps the ball over the bar, like
that's a big kick.
Like. I was right in the eye line, Cusick stand of it. I was going, there's like, to get this under the pressure is going to be one of the best kicks we'll ever see, you know. And I know we're talking about jumping over lads' heads and stuff like that, but as a free, it was class.
To go back to the call now, we never given technically by the letter of the law, it's a free, and I think that has to be emphasized. You know, Herson got the call right, but you go through, you know, how many club games are going to be played this weekend or next, and you'll see it again. You know, some man grabs a hand, and then
did you think Gavin White's was a free?
No,
I don't. No. I don't either. And I think that was a good hit. But the biggest moment, I suppose, outside of the freeze, and look, I think I thought the ref did a decent job. Mm-hmm. 53rd, 54th minute. I'm not sure now. I was
a bit hazy.
But we had the ball, and we had the ball on the 45 facing into the canal end, and it was a 3v3. We had two lads, we'll say, I think it was Conroy or Matthew Tierney on the ball on the right side, heading this way. We had two lads on the left. Look back at it. Open season. This was the only real goal chance we had in the game. We played it was 16-15, Kerry. We played the ball down the right side. I think we got turned over. And they went up and got a score. And Kerry went up and got a score. And you'll see how open it was. It was the best goal chance we had. And talk about fine margins. I think that was a fine margin. Because if that hand pass went left, it's a 2v1. We were in and we could have got a goal, and that would have changed the game. Galway would have went on and won the game. So I think as a turning point, that was my biggest turning point outside of, you know, the freeze or the freeze, and you can win some, you lose some. But that was a decision that could have changed Galway, could have changed the result.
Could have changed the game. It was actually surprising how few goal chances there was in it. The only one half chance was Paddy Clifford's in the second half.
When he slipped?
When he slipped, yeah.
If he didn't slip, it was goal. Now, Spillane was in, and he hand passed over the bar, if he just straight across, that was a goal now. But, you know, in terms of the whole, probably the game was a wee bit gone from Galway at that time. Mm. But for Paddy Clifford, if he didn't slip, I think that was going the back of the net.
Yeah, and even, I suppose, when you hit the ground like that, you're trying to get up so quick and the adrenaline's going, and it was a case of I do it more often than not, put the foot through it, and if it goes in, it goes in. If not, it's over the bar. But that was a worry for me. It's been a worry for me most of the year with Kerry. We haven't created. I think that's where Jack will look at next year. How can we kick on from here? The lack of goal chances I think Kerry have created this year made me nervous, kind of coming up second half. Because I was going, we're not kicking the lights out here now. Like you said, we got 13 in the second half, which was massive kicking, considering how poor the first half was. But I was surprised by the lack of goal chance by both teams. Now, to be fair, and like, maybe credit has to go to the defenders for that.
We needed a goal to win the match. Simple as that. And I go back to that point in the 54th minute. Like, we needed a goal. If you look at our games this year in the championship, Johnny Heaney's against Mayo, big moment, goal. You know, Shane's against Roscommon, big moment, put us ahead and get the ball rolling. You know, against Armagh, Comer's against Derry. You know, they're big moments in the game. So I felt we needed one of those, and we needed a goal to beat Kerry. We were point for point. We didn't have the players or the subs to go point for point with Kerry. Remember back in 2008 when we played, like, our subs coming on.
Yeah.
You know, we just didn't have that to kick on, and you brought on, you know, Brian Sheehan's and these guys who could just kick scores. And it was the same yesterday. Killian's plan is good enough to play for Kerry, and when Gainey goes, he should be looking for the next place. Tony Brosnan didn't get a look in. You know, Burns came on as well. He can kick a score. So they have strength and depth, and I just think we needed that. If we didn't get a goal, we weren't going to win the game.
I just felt going in, like, if Galway got a goal, crowd get going, like, we talk about the mental toughness, how would Kerry have reacted to that? So we've won them ones there, obviously, the lift to give the Galway team, but how would Kerry have reacted to that? Would have been just interesting. But another big call as well was Conor Gleeson got himself into a bit of trouble. Mm. Should have got a black.
Probably, technically.
From my perspective, it looked like a black.
Yeah.
Now, the same Rory was sitting beside me, and he says, no way, that's never a black. But it's black and white, basically. Pardon the pun now. Yeah. It's a, you. This is the black card. This is the offence. And for me, Conor Gleeson came out. He should have went that time.
Yeah, I thought he would. I be honest, I thought I didn't think he'd get the black, but I was like, it is a black.
Yeah.
But he got himself into a bit of. I was like, going, oh, geez, where is he off to here? He had a, moment in the first half as well, yeah, with a free.
Yeah. And in the second half, the short kick out as well went to a hot ball and.
Yeah.
Just,
there's,
you know,
there's small moments and there is. There's no finger pointing.
No.
Like that,
and there's fine margins. And yeah, as we said, if
no, Conor, I would probably blame Kieran Malloy a wee bit for that. Now, listen, Gleeson probably should have looked about, yeah, and been a wee bit more aware. Mm. But, you know, you've just got to get out in terms of the nature of the game, the way it's kind of going against you. Malloy's just got to get out. I know he was, I think he was stretching, he was cramping. But you just get out of the area and, you know, sit in cornerback or whatever position, yeah, and yeah, just yeah, stretch.
They're just silly mistakes, really.
Yeah,
you know, concentration.
Yeah, pressure, mm-hmm, yeah, yeah. Look, Connor has been under pressure all year, you know, in different performances. He's very good against Derry, but I think, you know, we know what Connor gives. He gives you that long kick out, you know, distance and all that sort of stuff. The short one, he's going to have to work on. He knows that himself, you know, to make Galway, mm-hmm, a different team. I think when the teams push up in Galway, they're under pressure, particularly if you're not winning the midfield battle. And I thought early doors, all our balls were going out. Jack Barry was catching, David Moran was catching. We needed something different, and I'm not sure he was able to do that. But look, fine margins are fine margins, and he probably deserved a black. You know, John Daly on Killian Spillane, was it a free, wasn't a free? It evens, yeah, itself out as the, mm-hmm, game goes on. Disappointed and all as we are, and the boys will be this morning, they'll be looking at that as a turning point. I saw Scan Concannon giving the ref a bit after about it.
Was he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. There was, you know, obviously a few verbs and things like that, but that's heat of the moment stuff. You know, I suppose when it was in the game will piss a lot of,
yeah,
the Galway camp off, but they'll reflect on it and watch the game and they'll see that it's probably, you know, it ended the right way, I think.
Yeah, when Galway do look back on the season, obviously, look back up to Division 1, Connacht title, got to an All-Ireland, will the biggest worry be how they finish games? Like, they drew level in the 65th minute and Kerry got 4 unanswered points.
Mm.
How they came, maybe we'll just say irrelevant now, but it seems to be the last 5 or 10 minutes in a lot of the games where they've struggled. So obviously, maybe that's down to being in Division 2 and playing a lesser standard of football throughout the league, and being in Division 1 will help them bring it on. But the way they finished a lot of games this year was edgy. Or, like, they played Mayo early.
Yeah.
Were a lot better than them, nearly lost it. Left Ross come back into it. Armagh was the meltdown, I suppose we call it.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, Derry know, right, they're more comfortable, but still conceded late.
I think that comes with experience, you know, like Galway. And, like, there's no offence intended here, funny now, but they probably wouldn't, if you were to pick a team to get an All-Ireland final, Galway wouldn't have been on my list anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, you have to remember the journey they're on, and, you know, in terms of probably, I know this is the third year with Joyce, I think it is, third or fourth?
Third.
And they still have a good bit of learning to do in terms of, you know, playing at that Division 1 standard, and, you know, operating in the top table. And I think we won't see that as time goes on. You know, they'll learn to close the games out now.
Mm.
It's a bit of an identity crisis still, because I think if you look at the Roscommon game, conceded late 23 points and then changed tact for the Mayo match. So I think we've kind of figured out what we are now in the championship. You know, we're a counter-attacking team, whatever it is, and we're settling on that. And I think Pádraig is going to settle on that over the winter and try and build it further. But as you know, Eamon, that takes a full year to really, really nail down. I thought defensively we got better as the year went on, but we're certainly not the finished article. I still think there's way more fine-tuning to do for Galway to identify themselves as, we know what we're getting from Galway now, whereas earlier on in the year we didn't. You know, Cork and Offaly came to Pearse Stadium, or Offaly did, and could have scored 7 or 8 goals, you know what I mean? So it was a work in progress, and you have to remember it's Keane O'Neill's first year.
Yeah.
So I'm sure, like, when he gets a full winter again with these boys to fine-tune further. The biggest thing about Galway, and it goes back to your point, Darren, on the finish, it's the bench. Pádraig didn't make subs until late on in games because probably doesn't trust the bench and doesn't see as much talent as other teams have off the bench. So that's something we need to work on over the winter.
Yeah, and I suppose going to a Kerry going back to Kerry, I suppose, and there was big talk at the start of the year, and Peter Keane left, and Jack got the job. He brought in Paddy Talley, and look, to be fair, wasn't the most popular decision in the country. Like, and to be fair, like, I would have always, like, my team about Jack was, he's a winner. He doesn't care how he does it, but I don't think he gets enough credit. This is his third stint as Kerry manager. It's his fourth All-Ireland medal. They won the McGrath Cup this year, the National League, the Munster Championship, and the All-Ireland. We're not going to call it the quadruple. But he comes in, and it doesn't matter what it is. It's habit.
Mm-hmm.
Winning's a habit. And when it came down to the last 10 or 15 minutes, probably the only time I started thinking, right, they're going to... Because they've learned how to win them games. I think that's down to Jack, and he does bring this stubbornness as well. And like, I always, whenever I'm asked about Jack, he'd be rough and ready and raw. You know, not giving him the credit he deserves for it, because we mentioned it there, like, both managers got it tactically right yesterday.
Yeah.
And definitely down in Kerry, I don't think he gets the credit. I'm not sure what it's like, people's opinion of Jack all over the country.
I think, you know, I would have been critical of Jack in terms of the whole process at the start and the way he went about, you know, leaving Kildare and then going to Kerry. But as you said, you called out the results. They speak for themselves. And at the end of the day, he has three medals to his name this year, and he's won everything that's put in front of him. So, like, that's what it's about at the end of the day. That's what Kerry needed, someone just to get over the line and get an All-Ireland in Clifford's pocket, get an All-Ireland into Shawnee O'Shea's pocket. And Jack O'Shea, or Jack O'Connor, says, like, it's about what you need to get over the line in terms of, and listening to you, Darren, I have a different perspective on him, because, as you say, we don't give him enough credit. We think he's rough and ready, and he's a pure kind of just kick the ball and that's it. But there's far more to him than far more. And the fact that Kerry got over the line when it was put up against them, like, that's what Jack O'Connor's about.
Yeah. And even just seeing the scenes after the game, the lads lifting him up, like, I did hear from a good few fellas this year that the personal touch, just chatting. And I remember when I was playing with him, he could ring you there to go for a coffee. Now, you're only talking football, but it's personal then as well. Like, and there is a connection there, and you feel involved, even more involved. And he's asking you, just discussing football, because that's what he's obsessed with.
Yeah.
But you could see the connection that he had with the players as well out on the pitch after and stuff. Was nice to
and
see.
The level of detail he goes into. I remember meeting him, whatever, 15, 16 years ago, saying, and I was chatting about this during the week, saying that, you know, he was having a chat, we were at the train station or something, we'd played the same day as yourselves, and he was on about the level of detail and talking about going on local websites, local radio stations or something, you know, to get, you know, if Eamon McGee's on Donegal FM or whatever it is, he'd be given the local insight, possibly might say something. A nugget, you know, Carl hasn't trained all week, Carl Lacey hasn't trained all week or whatever, and he take all that on board or whatever, local newspapers. I'd say the man's attention to detail is serious, rough and ready as it is, but I'd say he's obsessed by the game and by getting any little bit of nugget of information or edge. I'd say he tries to get it, and if that's a Paddy Talley, he doesn't care.
Yeah, I think Jack plays a role too, the Yerra Yerra role, Maria.
Yeah. He feeds that whole kind of image that we see of him now, and there's just so much more to him.
He's not the worst at that, though.
No, he'd be...
There's way worse.
What do you mean, ye?
Yerra. You know, he's not a grass is green merchant. He'll speak more honestly, you know.
You're looking at me as if I'm not like that.
You're not the worst, Darren. Now, there's a lot bigger culprits down a bit.
There is,
That's a different podcast. But you mentioned there as well, David Clifford. I think he said, after something I dreamed of all my life. Probably universal run play. People are delighted to see him win it. It's just interesting now. Like, they're at a point now, they've got the first medal. Where do they go? Are they going to be satisfied with one? Like, cause I think it was Stephen O'Brien was saying after the game, his first year was 2014, himself and Paul Murphy. Go into the first year with Kerry, you get to an All-Ireland final, you win a final. This is the way it's going to be. They have to wait a while then to get another medal, so they're not easy. And we talked earlier, I think next year will be the most open championship we've had in a long time. Like, Kerry will be there next year, Dublin will be there next year, Galway will learn an awful lot from this year, Mayo will have a new manager, Tyrone will be looking to kick on, and you'll probably be taking over the Donegal team. I'm only joking, I won't put you under the pressure.
Don't
but Donegal,
put me
Monday Donegal have a new manager, will be looking to kick on.
Yeah.
Like, that's just six. Armagh, as far, like, I don't, they'll be looking to kick. Like, you have six or seven teams. Derry, one, like, we've eight teams. And, like, I just think we're in for what could be a great period.
Like, as much as I enjoyed the game, I was different from you. I was able to savour the thing. And, you know, just the All-Ireland is a great spectacle. And walking away from the game, I thought, you know, Donegal can beat them two teams. And I think, you know, that Donegal can beat them. Armagh will be thinking the same.
Yeah.
Derry will be thinking the same. Mayo will be thinking the same. You know, obviously Dublin are still there, and you're 100%. This going, you know, 2023 is going to be, for me, the most open championship in a long, long time.
Yeah, it will, yeah. And as well as that, like, you'll always have Kerry in Dublin because of, you know, finance and the teams that they're producing. But, but to your point, Damon, I think everyone will look at Galway this year and go, you know,
but same like with we Tyrone can
get
last
there
year.
We can get there, you know, and, yeah, and all you have to do is get there and you have a chance, you know what I mean? So they'll all be thinking, right, we'll have a cut. Like, don't Armagh be thinking we should have bet Galway in the end or whatever it is. So they'll push on, but you're right, it's going to be hugely open. Galway's, I know you mentioned Galway should be, like, Galway's biggest day this year is today. Do you know, not yesterday, it's today. It's when Paul Bellew, the chairman, sits down and says, right, how do we sustain? Because, like, 2001, the Monday after the All-Ireland, we said, Arshad, there's 20 more Michael Donlans coming down the track, and John O'Mahony would be around forever and we'll be just competing every year. Never happened, and we went away for so long. So how do we get the minors coming through? Because we don't have the bench we should have at the minute. We're playing off a small base, and that's not sustainable, you know. And for Galway as a football county, there's loads of work to be done. And they won't sit down and say, we got to an All-Ireland final. They should sit down and look in the mirror and say, facilities are shite. We need to improve the whole thing now and use this, like, the homecoming tonight. Kids will be there with flags. Let's get everyone interested. Let's get the city buzzing about football again and feed off this. And let's get Comer as our hero, Shane as our hero. You know, just really get that buzz and use it. Not just say, I'm sure we got there and we might get there next year. And then Mayo might clip us in the first round and we're gone out of the championship early. So Tyrone have done that. Kerry have done that. Dublin have done that. Galway have to compete next year. I wouldn't say we mightn't get to a final. We mightn't win the All-Ireland, but we just have to be sustainably quarterfinal, semi-final every year for the foreseeable.
I was actually chatting to Down Man last night, and we were talking about it, and that's what happened. That, you know, they got an All-Ireland final in 2010, and they just assumed this, like,
yeah,
well, what we're doing is right, but it's not right. It doesn't have to, I said this like a few weeks ago, it doesn't have to be a cycle. You know, if you get your structures in place and you get everything right, you know, Galway can be there all the time. If you, like, Donegal can be out there. Mayo are there, in fairness to them. They've got it right. They're competing and they're in and about the top table. Kerry the same, Dublin the same. Like, for teams of the Donegal, the Galways, Armagh's, it doesn't have to be the cycle. Like, you know, if you get the things in place, you can be there every year.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even talking up, you were on about the spectacle of the All-Ireland, and I just, yesterday, I suppose this year was my first year really enjoying games as a supporter, and I was just watching the parade. Like, I don't think there's any, that feeling going round for the parade is hair in the back of your neck. So it's goosebumps. And, like, if you're a player, like a former player, watching, I'd say, oh, jeez, I'd love that feeling again. And that was, I hadn't felt
one
like
more
that.
More time.
Yeah. And then, like, even watching Shawnee, I was watching him striding out at the front of it. And Shawnee's 23. I was captain the same. Like, you're only a pup. I was only a pup. But he just looks, himself and Dave, they just look so much older, more in control of everything. I just watched him, he had the chest out and he was just powering on. And coming up then to make the speech, it was just, look, you know, you're, like you said, you're watching and you're going, Donegal can beat them. You'd hope that the other players around going, I want that. I want to be that guy, you know, because, and it is out there for teams once you get it going. But, like, just on Shawnee there, like, and he didn't have his best game yesterday. He was kept quiet. He was really well marked. God, we got the matchups right there.
Yeah, Silky was good, yeah.
But a good sign of him was, like, and it wasn't going right, he kept showing, kept running, kept working. And you'd always say to a fella, like, if you're going bad, you'll work your way into the game. If you keep, you'll tackle something. Yeah. And in fairness, he has that attitude. I don't think it has to be told him that, right, we know he can kick great scores and the frees and do all the nice stuff. Thought yesterday was just a game where he mightn't get much credit for it. I think he had three frees or whatever, and they were fairly tap over. But it was just his willingness to work, willingness to be available.
I think that's one of the biggest, you know, positives for Sean O'Shea. Obviously, he's a brilliant player, as you said, he kicks frees and all that. But his maturity, like, he's 23, and the way he carries himself, and the way he's a leader at 23, a real leader. Like, a lot of them older lads look up to him, or I perceived them to be looking up to him. And, you know, at 23, we could do a podcast here on what I was doing at 23.
Yeah.
And, you know, how immature I was. And but for him to be doing that, and for him to, it's just such a sign that for, I think it's one of his biggest characteristics that he is such that leader.
Mm. Even the speech, like, because, like, there's, for me, there's nothing more nerve-wracking than public speaking. And I remember the nerves doing the speech, but I just thought he spoke really well and just nice and calm. Mm-hmm. And there was no major fucking bubbliness. He was just cool and calm.
Roar, yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah, I know he's like, he's the moment of the year that free probably is, you know. Like, people will go back to that defining moment, you know.
People will, and Kerry, people are going to compare it with Maurice Fitz's free against Dublin.
Yeah.
I actually met Maurice last night, and I didn't tell him, but I had actually rate Shawnee's above it.
Oh, yeah. Like,
just thought it was.
Yeah, it was serious. And for what it was as well, you know, for Kerry to, you know, get over Dublin or whatever it is, and pressure and into the wind and into the Hill 16, it was just.
You let Maurice buy you a drink first before he.
No, I wasn't going to say it to Maurice, no, in fairness. But no, look, I think all in all, it was a good championship. Obviously, Kerry point of view, it is great to finish on a high, and I do think for the last couple of years they've been tipped to win it, and these lads, like, I think there's 17 or 18 of them that were part of the 3 and 4 and 5 minor, like, so they've waited a bit of time, and I suppose, like, they thought it would happen a lot quicker, and they had suffered a couple of setbacks along the way, so it was a big one for them. But I think all in all, the championship has been good. It's thrown up a lot of excitement, a lot of surprises, and like we said about next year, that there's just going to be so many more teams in the mix next year, and so many more teams that are finishing up the year going, there's no reason we can't beat Galway next year. There's no reason we can't beat Kerry.
So. We're nearly there. We're nearly there, I think. The Talton Cup, a few tweaks, that was excellent. We're nearly there. The provincial is obviously still the elephant in the room, I think. Mm. The lull after the league. It was great that you made the point about Kerry winning all 4 medals or whatever it was. Clifford was player of the league. He was man of the match in the league final, you know. He was player of the championship, man of the match in the, you know, in the All-Ireland final. Like, just it, that'll inspire the top players to, you know, be playing at the peak of their powers in the league as well, and we'll have better league matches, because, you know, that shows that this guy is the best player in the country, simple as that. But he goes out in a pissy wet March day and he's getting killed, but he's still delivering, which, you know, it's easy for the top players to say, you know, I might sit this league match out because the hammer is tired or whatever. Mm. He went out and he was getting battered around the place. So that'll inspire Shane to be doing it, and Rean O'Neill to be doing it, you know, in March and April. But look, the provincials have to be changed, or something has to be done, because we are getting great games at the latter end of the championship, but we just need them a bit earlier.
I think, you know, it has been, listen, there's been bad games, and I think there's such a difference between the hurling coverage and the football coverage, because one bad game in the football championship and we're all saying, oh, football's dead, and we're so, you know, read so much into it. But, you know, we've had the Armagh game, Armagh Galway game, we've had the Kerry Dublin game. We had a good final. I thought it was a brilliant final. So I don't know, are football fans spoiled or entitled that they think every game should be a shootout and every game should be, you know, a ding dong affair now? But overall, I thought this year's championship was unbelievable. It was a great spectacle. It was a good advertisement. Now, the split season does need work in terms of the whole club side of it. You know, up in Donegal now, we would have played a lot of our league games without the county players. I don't think that. I think a split season should be a split season. You county players go with their club, and, you know, you have that maybe a month overlap, maybe. But, you know, as you say, we're going in the right direction here.
Yeah, like, even the split season, I don't think there's any right answer to it. Like, every county is different. Like, we've all the league done in Kerry now. played it without the County Boys. No, a few of them played.
Claiming Galway, yeah.
Jack mm-hmm. played a few, left a few of them play when they needed games. And that's what it was used for. Go back to your club, get 60 minutes into you. We're going into club championship. It was supposed to be this weekend coming, but they've put it back a week, obviously, for the boys. But I always found that when you go back, you know, especially like, let's say the boys have won the All-Ireland, normally you get to your pinnacle and you go, ooh, breathe now, relax.
Yeah.
They're going to go, well, they won't be breathing for a while. They'll be buzzing around the place for the next few nights. But it's very tough on a county player now. So he's got to the pinnacle of where he wants to get.
Yeah.
There's obviously going to be a lull. You're going to come down. And a week later, the club are like going, oh, Finian, need you back now.
Yeah.
And it's, I think it's 3 weeks in a row of championship games. And they'll all be tough games. Like, so we're coming into August and it's just going to be matches. So like people forget as well that all the county boys are club players. So they are going, especially, let's say, Kerry Galway, they both got to All-Ireland. They're going straight through for a full year.
Yeah.
And it's something I struggled with as a county player to come back in. I needed about a month just to have the wee lull. And normally you're just straight into championship. But when I finished with the county, I was like, I only started playing consistently good for the club this last, you know, 3-4 years when I was away for it, because you're straight in a club championship, you're just, and it is tough. It is tough.
Mentally
the kind of
and physically, yeah. I always found that you're so invested in the county game. Not that you're not invested in the club, but the county game is so, it's on a different level. Obviously, it's like a different sport. And when you get to that point where you either get your goal or you lose and you're out and you're deflated, it's very hard to get back up. And I was doing a piece for the Kerry's Eye today, and I did say that I wouldn't be surprised to see a few of these boys struggle through the club and county championship it's very hard, and obviously the expectation is going to be on all of them.
The worst situation you can be in is if you're number 26 togging sub, don't play all year, but you're in that setup all year, and like it's great obviously getting to an All-Ireland final,
but
then you come back and you have to do all the club stuff, so you haven't kicked a ball
You
know, for your club or your county, but you're there, you're part of the panel. That's, you know, the 25s and 26 that don't get in. You know, we had a couple of them there yesterday with our club, you know, that two of them didn't tog, you know. Cahill didn't get a whole lot, pile of minutes either, but you know they have to come back now and they're probably tired, maybe a little bit pissed off that they haven't got more game time, and now they're coming back kind of to the club, you know, what's their attitude going to be like and things like that. So obviously you would think they'll come back and say, right, I need to be the best club player in the county to move up the ladder next year. But it's tough, it's a long season for those boys. But look, that's success. You want to play at the top level, we all have to do it, I suppose, to play a county and have the 2 week holiday in November and back at it again.
Jeez, 2 weeks holiday would be fine too. But I suppose the next debate that'll be going on will be the All Stars. I only saw a brief look at it now, the Sunday game team. I thought it was a strange team. No Tom Sullivan, I know he'd well beaten in the final, but I thought he would have been in the consideration for player of the year the way he was going. No John Daly.
Yeah, that's
James McCarthy, who we will all agree is a Rolls Royce and one of the greatest ever.
Mm-hmm.
He would put in a wing back.
I find the All Stars, we this debate again, you know, when the All Ireland final weekend is a great time for having these GA debates. And one of the debates was the All Star thing. And I just think a lot of the All Stars is about token gestures. Like James McCarthy, no one's disputing James McCarthy. He's going down as one of the best players of all time. But I don't see the logic in putting him in, because he was injured a lot of the year. He had a brilliant game against Kerry, but
he had a brilliant finish to the game. I actually thought he came into it when Stephen O'Brien went off. Do you know, it was the end, let's say the second half.
Yeah.
Do you know?
And like Tom O'Sullivan, for me, is an all-star.
Hmm.
Now, are we defining the final? Like how you play in the final? Is that your whole season? Like, I don't see how he can go from being in the running for possibly player of the year to not being an all-star. And I just think the All-Stars are nice, and of course I'm going to say that because I don't have one, and I can be dismissive of them, but they're nice, but they're token gestures. I feel, and I think, you know, there's people on them, on the selection committee, that'll make a good argument, and you know, they'll make a strong case for selecting. So I remember Cluxton and Clark. There was a big debate. Cluxton was in the running for player of the year, and
Clark got the All-Star.
And you know, there's people that are on the selection committee that they make a strong case for it, then they're good. But for me, it's just token gestures.
But Liam Silk wasn't in any conversation up to yesterday, and he was in the team of the year last night. Mm-hmm. And Tom Sullivan was in every conversation for player of the year, and he wasn't in the team of the year last night. So obviously the final has a big bearing on all this. John Daly should be there. Killie McDade and Shane are two certs, and then, you know, I think Galway will get probably two more. Kerry will get six or seven, and then you'll have your Reen O'Neills and your Kieran Kilkenny. You know, Kieran Kilkenny probably deserves an All-Star. Yeah. He every game he plays, you know, he plays every minute of every game, and he's brilliant in most of those minutes. So, you know, he dictates the game, comes up with scores. If you're looking for a guy to be a consistent player all year, then that's the type of player you'll put into the All-Stars. But I don't think Thomas Sullivan's performance yesterday should keep him off the team. No way.
No, I don't think so either. And even it happened to Stephen O'Brien in 2019. I've talked about it a few times. He was in for player of the year. And then he had a quiet final replay. And then he missed out in the All-Star. So he went from being one of the top three players in the country to not in the top 15.
Yeah.
I thought it was ridiculous that there. And that just sums it up, basically.
But sometimes you get knocked out in the quarter final or a semi final and you're nailed on because you have no other game to underperforming or whatever. But like you said, it can be. Look, the main thing is Sam Maguire winning it. And these are, they're little gestures. They're nice
for the
to
CV.
Have. Yeah, they're nice
and
to have.
All Ireland weekends. That, you know, I was in the company of a few greats there last night, and it would have been nice to be able to say, like, I have an All Star too now. But
that's what it's all about, for the
CV. Yeah,
it'd be unbelievable. Yeah, but.
And the other one then will be Player of the Year. David Clifford, McDade, I think, is in the running, and then there's probably a handful of other fellas who are just.
I thought Shane Walsh was man of the match yesterday.
Oh, he was, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's just the way it is or whatever, but if we're all sitting down and we're all being honest with ourselves, I think he was. And I don't think there's reason to be having a debate about player of the year. You know, you have to have three nominees or whatever, so pick whoever you want. Yeah. Just pick, you know, the player of the year is the player of the year. That's
For me, Clifford.
David Clifford by a country mile. So look, you know, you have to kind of do things for certain. Like the Kerry player had to get man of the match yesterday, because probably the hotel and setup and all that sort of crack. But look, David Clifford has been unbelievable. Go back to the league, even.
But like you said there, like sometimes, like we have player of the year, we have an All Star team, but it's not based on the year; it's based on 3-4 games. A lot of things. But like you said, David played. I think he played every league game.
Yeah.
He missed one of the championship games early in the month's championship, but he's consistently performed for the majority of the year.
Yeah. Well, look at other sports as well, like basketball. Like Steph Curry does a day, he's player, you know, MVP, because all season, like he's hitting it out of the park. You know, Tom Brady, for instance, or whatever it is, he's doing it game after game after game. Even the games you forget the first one or two, like you go back to early doors in the league for Curry, and David Clifford is there just, you know, outshine everyone, which is great because we need our best players out there all the time to make this product that Gaelic games could be brilliant.
It's down to be corrected here now, but I think the last time that we took league form into it was 2014. Mark Lynch got nominated for an All-Star based on his league campaign. He had an unbelievable league campaign. Derry didn't really get going in the championship, but he was nominated for an All-Star, raised a few eyebrows now, but you know, it made sense because, as you say, we're basing an All-Star should be on your season.
Mm.
You know, are you the best, one of the best 15 players throughout the season, not this championship? For me, that's what an All-Star should be.
Big time, yeah.
And it should be easier to do it now that the season is condensed. Before, you'd say, I had a good league, but geez, you can't remember the league. You're so far away. But games are fresher in our mind now as well. So you're like that. There's always going to be debate, and it's always one to. There's always going to be somebody disappointed and somebody who should get one and doesn't get one. And like you said, Eamon, a couple of token gestures and fitting fellas into different positions. So like we were on about Clark and Cluxton. I remember playing Cluxton cornerback 1 year. You know, so.
Colm Kavanagh got one. He played midfield, but he played as a sweeper and he got named as fullback. I think it was 2018, 2017. 2018, yeah, and, you know, that's kind of, it was a sound argument, good logic to it, but he's not a fullback. Like.
Yeah, I think it's just things like that kind of dilute the kind of thing about it. So it's kind of, like that. But it, look, it is nice for the players. It'd be a nice day out and stuff. But look, to be on Lindor, I don't think too many of the Kerry lads this morning would be worried if they're going to get an All-Star or not.
At the end of the day, and this is, as I said, it's good for the CV. It's good to get the All-Star and, you know, good for the ego and yeah. and all this. But, like, when I look back to my time, did Michael Murphy, did Rory Cavanagh believe I was the best cornerback? And they did. And that's more important to me yeah. than any, mm. you know. Neil has three All-Stars in the mantelpiece. For the fact that the boys were able to look at me and say, that's the, he's the man for the job. And that, mm. that for me, is more reassuring than the mm. the three All-Stars.
Yeah, no, 100%. And probably a good way to finish up today's show. So that's all we have time for. Big thanks to my two guests, Eamon and Finian. And join us next week where we'll be having a review of this season, talking about the highs, the lows, the winners and the losers. See you next week.
You're listening to the GAA Hour with Darren O'Sullivan on Sports Joe.
The final whistle is all over. Jim Gavin, Jason Sherlock embrace. Dublin are the history makers.
Today, Sean Kavanagh, who is a brilliant footballer. But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
O'Sullivan, oh, that was absolutely brilliant. What about that for skill from Darren O'Sullivan?
Kieran McCall, it's high, it's over. Will he ever get a more vital one than that?
The transition talk, I think Joe Bradley told us the production line was finished in Kerry. Well, Joe Bradley, what do you think of that?